3 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock. The Olympics are underway, and they are awash in controversy already. Jimmy Garoppolo becomes the NFL's top salaried quarterback, and Iowa State falls to Texas Tech. All that and a whole lot more coming up on a jam-packed edition of the Gym Class here on KGYN. And looking outside our window, the snow, at least on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, has not yet begun to fall. Welcome into the Gym Class, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today. Welcome in as the latest snow again comes our way while we hunker down. Well, no, we hit the grocery stores, that's what we do. And then we hunker down and get ready to ride it out until tomorrow. Mark Dukes trying not to touch anything today because you are in the epicenter of you're sitting right where I think patient zero is or whatever.
Well, I fear I become a germophobic, to tell you the truth.
Oh, I am. There's no fear about it. I am a germaphobe.
For those of you that don't know, and why would you, Todd Brommelkamp and I share the same spot in the studio. Of course, I for this show and Todd for his show, and we basically have a line shift about 4 o'clock. And unfortunately, Todd's sick today, and I don't know. I appreciate that can of Lysol right there. Sorry, I'm really sorry, Todd, but I had to take precautions, my man.
You won't even touch the microphone. You're like handling it like
I wristed it.
I don't even know how to describe it, but
like that spare ball in the 10th frame last night of the first game. God, that's coming up.
Yeah, we'll get to Bowling Night in America because we are, again, we have to, and we owe it to our listeners to do that. We'll do it coming up in just a little bit.
Todd, get well
please. It'll be the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, except it'll be Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann today. We should start things off letting you know that right out of the chute, we are bringing you high school basketball on the South Gym tonight, a doubleheader non-conference between West Branch and Clear Creek Amana. Due to the impending weather, they are going to move that up 1 hour. So we will have it for you at 4:50 today on 106.3 FM. That's 4:50 for the pregame of the girls' contest. Jeff Downing and Eric Peterson will be down at Tiffin tonight to bring you the girls' game, followed by the boys' game. Some regional games around the state of Iowa in Class 1A girls' basketball. Hard to believe, but tournament trail starts tonight.
Yes, indeed.
For a few teams out there. And there are a few postponements. You can check them out at Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union's website at ighsau.org to check on the how your game is progressing tonight, or if it's been moved and where it has been moved. So we'll have to deal with this as we go through the next 24 hours. I would imagine we'll see a lot of cancellations already coming up.
We'll keep you up to date.
We will keep you up to date right here on KGYN. Big show. Kevin Lehman will join us. It's a Thursday. We'll talk men's college basketball. You and I looked, I think, like everybody thought you and I was going to be, as the Panthers put it, too. A good Bradley team last night. Wyatt Lohouse.
Welcome to the party.
Yeah. Great to see Wyatt break out of it last night. And he did in a big, big way as he came up with 25 big points in that ball game. And you and I got the win over Bradley. That's why no one wants to see you and I on the other side of that line in March or Arch Madness down in St. Louis. But at any rate, we'll talk with Kevin about that. And then Joey Gase is going to join us, the Cedar Rapids native, the driver on the NASCAR Xfinity Series, formerly the Nationwide Series for Go Green Racing. He'll be piloting the number 35 at Daytona a week from Saturday as the Xfinity Series getting underway with their season coming up. So looking forward to catching up with Joey and see how how things are progressing as he gets ready for the 2018 season.
Yeah, full-time ride in that Xfinity Series in that Camaro, number 35, as you mentioned. And we'll see how many maybe Monster Energy Cup races he will go, because apparently there's a part-time deal for him to race in the 33 on the big series. So right. We'll see how much time he'll spend there.
Yeah, and find out exactly what the schedule is going to be like as far as that is concerned. All right, we teased it at the beginning. The Olympics getting started today, in essence, with America's favorite sport and Canada's national sport, curling, getting underway with the brand new. Why not just bring out the brand new sport in the Olympics? That is the mixed doubles portion of curling. And we have not gotten in even to the opening ceremonies, and we are awash in controversy already as the Swiss and the Chinese went at it today. Final end with the Swiss up 5-4. Chinese, I believe, had the hammer.
Curling, had the rock.
Curling term. And so they had a chance to tie or win it. They had a rock in the center circle, so they knew they had a point there. Then it goes to whoever is the closest, and it's obviously if the Chinese rock was or stone, I'm sorry, stone. Got to use correct terminology. Lon Pepper will be after me. Their stone, if they were closest, then they would have scored 2 points, would have won the match.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was so close, and there are no referees. It is a gentleman's game, or should we say, I don't know.
Gentle person's
game. And they were trying to eyeball to see exactly who was closest, couldn't do it. And then they started to, you get a tape measure out, whatever the case may be. Well, the stone may have been moved a little bit. May have been compromised. And, oh, my gosh, they can't go to televised replay.
We have viewers call in about this.
No, you can't have that. And ended up, I guess they did what only they could do, and they just said, well, we can't say that it was closer. We can't say it wasn't close, so we're just going to get the 1 point. Let's move to extra ends.
Who made that ruling?
They did.
Okay.
The two teams.
Okay.
So they went to extra ends, curling term, and the Swiss did end up winning 7-5. So they get the
extra ends.
In extra ends, yes. So there you go. 7-5 win for the Swiss today. Americans already have 2 matches under
their belt. Lost to Canada. Keep in mind that South Korea is 15 hours ahead of Central Time. So
this is not live tonight on NBC, by the way,
it is
folks.
Not. But it was live this morning, like 5 a.m.
Were you up?
I was up sometime after that. I knew it was on, and I forgot to tune in. But nevertheless, the USA with a brother-sister team in the new mixed doubles event lost to Canada and now stand 1-1. USA day before, what was that, Wednesday night in South Korea?
This is going to get very confusing.
Beat, what are they calling it, the organized group of Russian athletes?
Something like that.
Something like that. Because Russian athletes have been banned for the a large part. But USA stands 1-1 and has one more game in pool play to try to get to medal round.
We wish them the best.
Indeed.
Wonder if they, brothers and sisters don't always get along the greatest. I mean,
I've seen them play. They're pretty good together.
Right.
Yeah. But, oh, God, I just grabbed the mic.
Oh, get the, where is it? There it is right there.
You can
there.
Probably smell the Lysol through the airwaves here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you can't be too careful.
Well, as long as we're on the Olympics, that's the subject of our poll question today. At KGYMradio.com, thanks to Emil's Hideaway, what is your favorite Winter Olympic sport? And I'd like to get Kyle's opinion on this. He's younger than we are.
He is.
Would it be curling? Figure skating? I doubt that would be Kyle's choice. Ice hockey? Bobsled / luge?
Not bobsleigh, it's bobsled. We did look that up, by the way.
Skiing, and there's various skiing events. speed skating, or snowboarding. Kyle Mann making his move in here to weigh in. I think folks know how we feel about curling. I like the luge.
I love bobsledding and the luge, and I like curling. I'm a hockey guy. I like the Winter Olympics better than the Summer Olympics.
I like the speed skating as well.
There are less events to worry about. You can kind of keep a little bit more perspective of what's going on. You can kind of keep it under your eye a little bit more. And yeah, it's just all the events seem to I enjoy.
Kyle Mann, our great producer, he's of a different generation. What do you think, Kyle?
You know, I'm actually a little bit surprised to hear you guys say that you like the Winter Olympics more than the summer, because I got your email this morning looking at this poll question, and I got to thinking, you know, none of these really grab me that much. I mean, I'm not a big hockey guy. By default, though, I probably have to go with hockey just because, you know, there is a certain physicality to it. It's obviously, you know, a popular sport. There's a pro league of hockey, so I'd say that. But I want to give a maybe surprising shout out to figure skating.
Really?
There is an elegance to figure skating, a certain creative athleticism to it. I can appreciate that. It's a beautiful sport.
I had you for a snowboarding guy. Sean White, you know, the whole...
Yeah, okay. Snowboarding can be exciting too, but it's...
But that's more X Games, or you think of an X Games more than an Olympics.
Yeah, my thought exactly, yeah. Was that I think the snowboarding that would get me is more X Gamey than Olympic-y.
All right. Well, that's fine.
I'm an elegant follower.
Maybe we'll have Kyle's figure skating updates.
Ooh.
Throughout the Winter Olympics.
This could be exciting.
Here on KGYM. There you go. What's your favorite? That's our Emil's Hideaway poll question, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway at First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids.
David and Hudson on the text line. Hockey for me, but the NHL ruined it for this year.
Yeah. Are you old school, though? Would you rather see the amateurs play, leave the professionals at home? I mean, the NHL, it's become such a... Such a controversy.
You're never going to have another Miracle on Ice of 1980, are you, if that's the case?
Never say never.
Let's play in a level playing field.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
And it's not right now.
Right.
It's just not at this point.
37-76. Snowboarding is probably the most fun to watch, but my favorite winter sport can't be mentioned on the air.
52-32.
The best Olympic sport is hockey. If you think it's something else, you're simply wrong. Hockey guy says?
Hockey.
Hockey. And thank you. The abbreviation for the Russian team is OAR.
Or.
The Olympic athletes from Russia. How about that?
Shouldn't it be ORF then? ORF?
0770 is looking for snowcross snowboard racing.
That's not bad either. That's fun. That is, I remember that now. We should have included that. It's like,
That be the snowboarding category or no?
Well, it's kind of an X Games deal, but it's kind of like, it's kind of like F1 meets the X Games. And they get some amazingly, you know, bad looking accidents. Usually everybody comes out unscathed. You hope they do, but that I forgot about that. See, I am a Winter Olympic guy.
You know what's a
I'm
tough sport?
I'm going to be taking this in.
You know what's a tough sport is biathlon.
Absolutely.
Cross-country skiing and shooting, same time.
I can't do either one.
And that's not in a matter of minutes either.
No.
That's a very grueling sport.
It is.
52-32, I'm a big fan of amateurs playing hockey for the Olympics rather than pros.
You forgot to put ski jumping, too.
Well, that's in the skiing category.
Okay.
Yeah, downhill skiing,
Alpine,
ski jumping, yeah.
The whole shebang. Nordic skiing, biathlon, ski jumping. 70 and 90 meter ski jumping.
1249, hockey is first, but would want NHL players to play. However, I will still tune in. Second for me is skiing due to the risk-taking and high-speed, high-reward, followed by snowboarding.
I think people, we have turned people on to the Winter Olympics.
1405, short track speed skating, Apollo Antonotto, still around.
They have new, they've got a longer speed skating event now that they've brought into the Olympics for the first time this year. So what is that called? Do you know that for sure? We're taking Kevin Lehman's time away from basketball here, talking about luge and other things. We'll talk about Iowa State's game against Texas Tech last night, which was a much closer game than that final score indicated. We'll do that here in just a little bit.
It's called long track speed skating, men's and women's mass start.
So it's like a marathon start. Everybody just jumbles in there, and then they go for a while.
See,
and
the short track skating is like Daytona. You're waiting for the big one at the end, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's Daytona.
By and large?
It's Daytona on Bristol.
Yes, yes.
Is what it is. See, I'm hyped for the Winter Olympics. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be fantastic. Although, like I said, we're going to know pretty much what happens before we see it. We got some Olympic programming coming your way late nights or early mornings to wrap things up for each day. We'll bring you that from Westwood One right here on KGYM. Jimmy Garoppolo, five-year contract, $137.5 million for a guy who's started seven games in his NFL career. Now, granted, he's 7-0. Is that out of hand, and are we going to see some exorbitant NFL quarterback contracts coming up? I'm doing everything I can not to talk about the NBA trade deadline today because it's been gone over enough today on national programming.
Well, that pretty much buries C.J. Beathard, right?
Oh, yeah.
At least in San Francisco.
On the depth chart. I mean, he's going to be a backup quarterback.
And he did okay.
He did fine. He did fine, but he wasn't. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be a pretty good quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be $137.5 million worth of good quarterback, but we shall see how that all plays out. All right, we need to take a break, and we will come back. Kevin Lehman's going to join us, and we'll talk about UNI's win last night, Iowa State falling on the road in Lubbock, and Iowa-Michigan State. That was fun the other night. We'll talk about it with Kevin Lehman when we come back.
He might be a figure skating guy. You never
know. We'll find
out.
We're going to find out what's going on with that. We'll talk with Kevin when we return after this here on KGYM.
When she says,
"Thanks, Valentine,"
she really means, "You didn't get it right, but I'm being nice." Well, this year, get a
"You're the best Valentine"
with Sweetopia Handmade Chocolates. These hand-painted artisan chocolates are almost as beautiful as her, and she'll think they're amazing. Come in and choose a ready-to-go box or customize your favorites at Sweetopia.
Best Valentine ever!
Sweetopia, inside Nubo City Market, 3rd Street, Southeast, and Cedar Rapids. This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will, because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out carpentersunionapprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
Connecting with your family and friends is what La Cantina is all about. For Valentine's Day, bring your sweetheart or your BFFs and gather around the table crunching, talking, sipping, and laughing. Or if you've got a party in the works, La Cantina would be happy to add some sizzle with their delicious catering. Connect at La Cantina in the Fountains on Edgewood Road, in downtown Cedar Rapids, and in Marion. La Cantina is now accepting applications for positions at all three locations.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
When you're hiring, you don't want to sort through dozens of irrelevant resumes. You want a short list of qualified candidates. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions. Then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. Daryl has hired with Indeed.
Nothing has been this simple, this easy, and this effective.
Discover why 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed.
Back with you on the Gym Class at 3:23 here on a Thursday. Snow just starting to fall in various places around eastern Iowa. Please be careful out there. If you're off to a whatever the case may be, basketball tonight, just on your commute home, whatever. Again, our basketball doubleheader tonight on the South Gym, 106.3 FM, West Branch at Clear Creek, Amana. That has been moved up 1 hour. We'll now get it underway at 4:50 on 106.3 FM with the pregame for the girls' game, with the boys' game to follow. We're going to talk to Joey Gase coming up in just a little bit. We're going to talk to Kevin Lehman right now, who talks college basketball with us on Thursdays here on the program. First of all, Kevin, do you like the Winter Olympics, and what is your favorite Winter Olympics sport?
Well, I have a new winter sport, one that we did on the farm with my seven brothers, and that is where you ski behind a snowmobile on snow skis. Try that sometime, guys, over a cornfield.
I kind of like where it goes. You lost me at the cornfield part. You need a smooth surface, I think. That would help a lot.
Well, but out on the farm, you don't always have smooth surfaces.
No. Nope.
I'll tell you what, you have an upper body workout when you're done. You know, we got a little board out there with all my brothers, so we would invent things like that. And that was, I remember doing that, skiing behind a snowmobile.
How fast are you going?
Smartest thing we did, guys.
How fast are you going?
Well, it depends how mean your brother was.
Yeah, how close were, you know, the Lehman family's very close, so, you know, I'm sure it was nice and, you know, nice and a nice controlled speed management.
Oh, you don't know us, guys. No, we had the indoor basketball court and the outdoor basketball court, so we would play all year round, and there was that pecking order, so you never lost to the brother older than you never lost a brother younger than you, and you never beat the one older.
There you go.
Let's talk you and Isaac.
If you had the lead, you got a hip check into the barn door.
Let's talk you and I's game last night. A very nice win over Bradley. Some would say, well, you know, this should have been coming quite some time ago, but really it was Wyatt Lohaus leading the way, and contributions from other people that may not have left the bench for a while. Austin Fife injured, ill, so interesting win.
It really was, and used a lot of different players they hadn't used before, and some of his starters didn't get a lot of minutes. McLeod only played 17, Pickford played 15, but they need a shot maker, and they finally found one with Lohaus. And Lohaus came in that game. The last few games, he was 1-for-10 from the field and just was outstanding last night in that performance where he was 6-for-9 from the three-point line. But that really took some pressure off their defense, Mark, and they needed that. And their defense struggled against Indiana State, much more tuned in. And this is the Bradley team, guys. If you follow what Bradley's doing and Brian Worrell's doing, this is a team on the uptick. They're ranked nationally in field goal percentage defense and in points allowed. So this was a big win for Northern Iowa. And they got coming up this weekend. I think it's Saturday. They go to Drake.
Yep. That's a big game.
Now, Reed Timmer is the all-time leading scorer now. Drake, he told me when they were at the McLeod Center, he has beaten every team in the Valley in his 4 years at Drake, but he's never beaten Northern Iowa.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Well, that's a huge game coming up, not only for Drake, but more so for Drake, I think, than you and I. The Panthers, though, if they can keep things rolling, their goal now is to get out of that first day at Arch Madness. And for Drake, if they drop that game to you and I on Saturday, they're going to be back to 500 in the league, and you don't know how that's going to play out. They could fall down to a first day game.
Yeah, there's a big logjam in the middle of this league between third and eighth for one game separating, so a lot of things can happen. And we always see Ben Gibson, the fix-it man, second half of the season. They've got Drake, so he went there, and that's going to be tough. Then they got Evansville back home, so they can get a little momentum going. Can they get out of that play-in game on Thursday? I don't know. They're going to have to play some really good basketball between now and when that starts. Actually, 3 weeks from today is Arch Madness.
Iowa State losing at Texas Tech last day, maybe not a huge surprise. Texas Tech, a top 10 team, but maybe the way in which it happened, because Iowa State only down 4 with 7 minutes left and lose by 18. And, of course, a big part of that was Cameron Lard fouling out with about 4 minutes left, I guess.
Well, he had an outstanding game, 10 for 11 from the field, 22 points. But if you look at that lower box mark, Tech gets 22 points off turnovers, 15 turnovers by Iowa State. And there, again, we have Nick Weiler-Babb injured, probably not going to play this weekend. Who knows, a lot of them down. They got to be clicking on all centers. They just don't have any margin of error on that Iowa State. But they've got Oklahoma coming in. Can they pull it out of West Virginia against this Oklahoma team? And then they've got Kansas. So you're wondering, Hilton, can they get the Hilton Magic going and get another win on these next two ranked teams? And when you look at the Big 12, I don't see a Final Four team in the Big 12. Kansas has got some issues. Tech is not a team that wows you. West Virginia, we saw the problems they had when they went into Iowa State. Oklahoma's at only 6-5. TCU has faded. I think if you look at the Big 10, you could see Purdue, Michigan State as Final Four teams. I just don't see one out of the Big 12, even though that league is ranked the second best league in the country.
Right now, Iowa State's going to have to take the long route if they want to get to a Big 12 championship game. I know they're thinking that, but and the other thing is right now, likely first round game could be even with TCU. And a TCU team that may need to win that one because they're 4-7 in the league right now.
Yeah, TCU started off so well in their non-league play, but they have struggled. You know, life in the Big 12, you got to come and bring it every night. They just haven't matured into the type of team that we thought they were going to see. But with Iowa State, you know, I think it all depends on Nick Weiler-Babb. Can they get him back here toward the end of February? Get him back into the offense before they go to the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. Because they don't have, their bench is so short now. Hans Brace is out. They're getting some good play off Zoran Talley, but not a lot of margin of error because they don't have many bodies.
It was an interesting Tuesday night in the Big Ten, Kevin. Northwestern knocking off Michigan and Iowa playing Michigan State right to the very end. The question is, what did you see in Iowa that you didn't see in the same team against, say, Purdue that allowed the Hawkeyes to stay in it till the very end?
I thought, Mark, that they played with the most emotion I've seen them play with in some time. I was at the Purdue game where they really came out flat. Michigan State, they were aggressive to begin with. They got Jackson and Ward in foul problems. And you look at the lower box. They outscored Michigan State in the paint, fast break points. They outscored points off turnovers, and only 8 turnovers by Iowa. That has been a problem for them all year, is turning the basketball over. And then you have the emergence of Daly, and I tell you another guy, Cordell Pimsel.
Mm-hmm.
He's got back on the block. He was trying to be a kind of a face-up forward this season. Now he's on the block. He's got excellent footwork, big shoulders, big butt, can score with that left hand. He's 11 of 14 his last 3 games for the Hawks. And I think also Fran shortened this rotation. We've talked about all year. He's really only playing 8 guys. You know, he's getting a couple minutes out of Wagner. Ellington saw a couple, but he's really down to 8, and he's getting contributions from Macy Daly there. He's getting some good contributions off the bench from those other two guys too, and Nunji and Pimsel, I talked about.
This team could just play, just play offense. It's right there as far as the postseason berth is concerned. And we've talked about defense all year, but you take a look at it, and this team is really, really good offensively. And I only think they're going to get better when Joe Eastcamp comes in next year.
Well, I told you last week, you know, I sat with Stephen Bardo after that game, if they beat Minnesota, and he said, you know, this Iowa team is scary in the tournament because of what they can do offensively. If they can fix any of those defensive problems, they are a team you don't want to face in the Big Ten tournament because we've seen them put up points. We know they can score. Can they make stops? Defensive transition has been a problem for them. And when you make shots, it's easier to get back and set your defense. So those two go hand in hand. But I think if they can keep this going, it's a big test coming up. Can they keep this thing going when they go to Ohio State? Can they play with, not necessarily win the game, but can they play with the energy and passion that we saw them play against Michigan State when they go into a hostile environment? And you might be catching the Buckeyes at a good time. What a win they had over Purdue last night.
Yeah, it is Ohio State and Purdue both 12-1, Michigan State 11-2. But I want to talk about that fourth-place team in the Big Ten, Kevin, and that's Nebraska. 9-4 in the league, 18-8 overall, an RPI of 54. And most bracketologists have the Cornhuskers maybe the last four out. But you look at the schedule down the stretch, and it looks pretty favorable for this team to get in the NCAA tournament.
Well, I think their schedule looks fantastic. I just pulled that out. Every game they have left is winnable for the Cornhuskers. And I don't think you can say that for any other team in the Big Ten. And I'm trying to find the schedule because I pulled that up a couple minutes ago. I've got it misplaced now, but here it is. When you look at what they've got.
Yeah, it's Rutgers and Maryland the next two, yeah.
Well, even after that, then they've got at Illinois, Indiana at home, and Penn State at home. So four of their last five for the Cornhuskers are at home. So this is a team that could end up 14-4 in the Big Ten.
They should
not surprise me. Now, I don't think you can keep them out of the NCAA if they end up 14-4 in that league, even 13-5.
I don't know how you can do that. Even 13-5. And you take a look at some of the other power conferences that are going to get teams under 500 in the conference. How can you keep a team that's 9 or 10 games above 500 out of the big dance?
Well, I think you're right. Let's say lay a huge egg in the Big Ten tournament, Madison Square Garden. I think you're looking at the fifth team is the Cornhuskers representing the Big Ten. But you know, I said this in our open here. Don't you think those two teams, Michigan State and Purdue, have a look of Final Four team? Now, Michigan State may be a little bit young, and I don't know if you listen to Tom Izzo's post-game press conference they had on the Big Ten Network. He was apologetic for his team. It was one of the strangest press conferences I've ever heard. I think maybe the pressure of everything that's happening on their campus with Nassar and those other abuse items is really wearing on Tom Izzo because, you know, he said, hey, we got 23 wins. A lot of coaches in America would trade places with me in a second. We've got a high ceiling. Can we get there? I'm not sure. It was really a strange press conference from Tom Izzo.
So much talent on that team, though. My goodness.
Yeah, but it's young talent. And, you know, I think what you're seeing, teams that are winning championships now, they've got a mix of young talent and older guys. That's the new term. You've got to stay old in college basketball. You've got to have some seniors with some senior urgency, and they teach the freshmen and sophomores what it takes to get to a championship round.
Before we let you go here, you've seen them both. I've seen them both. I thought Purdue was just a little bit better than Michigan State, mainly because Isaac Haas is in the middle, and you just can't go in the middle. I don't think this is a great interior Michigan State team defensively. They couldn't stop Tyler Cook the other night with two guys. And I don't know your thoughts. Who do you see as a better team right now, Purdue or Michigan State?
Well, I don't know if we saw a true Michigan State team, and don't take anything away from the Hawkeyes with this comment, but that was, I think, their fourth game in maybe 9 days. That
right.
was a tired Spartan team that came in here. And Izzo mentioned that they're going to take a day off before they play Purdue. So when you look at Michigan State has the talent, obviously, but again, it's young talent. Purdue is an older, more experienced team with Carson Edwards, Vince Edwards, Dakota Thias, of course, Isaac Haas. But guys, look at Ohio State. What a win to go into Purdue and just they just kind of hung around long enough that they had a chance to win the game at the end. And when you're a coach in that situation, that's what you tell your guys, hey, just get a chance that we can win it in the last possession. And that's certainly what the Buckeyes did.
All right, sounds good. And, well, like I said, 3 weeks till Arch Madness. This thing is this season is going in a blur, no doubt about that. And we will we'll catch up with you next Thursday, and I think hopefully things will clear a little bit more in all three of the leagues that we're concerned with.
Well, certainly it's a logjam in both the Big Ten, the top now, and the Missouri Valley, even in the, you know, the, all three of those, even the Big 12. But I tell you guys, get that snowmobile out, get your ski rope, get your skis, and see what you think.
We'll try it. We'll try it.
Hang on for dear life.
It could be a new Winter Olympic, a new Winter Olympic event.
All right.
Lamening.
We got a word for it. Hey, Kevin, appreciate it. Always good talking with you. We'll look forward to it next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, thanks. Kevin Lehman joining us here. We'll take a break, come back. Joey Gase will join us right after this here on KGYM.
Introducing McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu with favorites for $1, $2, or $3, like the McChicken, the Bacon McDouble, the Happy Meal, and...
A weekend getaway with the husband and kids?
No. But the $1-$2-$3 menu could help you save for one.
Especially if we leave the kids at home.
With Grandma, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Build whatever meal you want with favorites on McDonald's new $1-$2-$3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
It's always more fun to be with friends as you cheer on your favorite team. Whether attending the game, watching at a bar, or hosting a party, it's very important to know that fans don't let fans drive drunk. Before choosing to drink, choose your team's MVP, a sober designated driver. Avoid the unsportsmanlike conduct of driving drunk by handing off your keys so that you, your passengers, and everyone on the road can be safe. Your team victory will only be worth celebrating if you and your friends make it home. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Cedar Rapids Iowa City HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Underlings, I'm sensing some tension between us lately, so I'm proposing a peace offering.
A peace offering?
Yes, by this time tomorrow, you are all expected to give me a peace offering. Gifts, cash, compliments, whatever.
What do we get out of it?
You get to keep working here, if your peace offering is deemed worthy.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids Iowa City HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and Equal Housing Lender.
Snow is starting to fall here in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Please be careful out there, as we're going to see quite an accumulation, according to the National Weather Service, up to maybe 8 inches even by the time it's all said and done tomorrow at about this time. We do have high school basketball coming up for you. They're pushing it ahead 1 hour. Clear Creek Amana hosting West Branch on 106.3 FM. We'll have it for you beginning at 4:50 with the pregame. Jeff Downing and Eric Peterson on the call of that one. We think of warmer climates, and one of those is Daytona. As Speed Week's underway, they had the 24 hours of Daytona last weekend, and looking forward to qualifying for the 500. You got numerous races coming up through the week, all leading up to next weekend, the Xfinity Series race and the Daytona 500 coming up on the 17th and the 18th. Cedar Rapids driver Joey Gase, and I've been practicing this. You know, I got to get back into the swing of things here, Mark. The driver of the number 35 Go Green Racing Sparks Energy car on the NASCAR Xfinity Series joining
Very
us.
Very good. Thank I think you. Joey can do it better than that. Though.
Joey can probably do it better than I can. How you doing, Joey?
Good. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on tonight.
You bet. And well. While we look at the snow fly, you're getting ready to get the season underway again. And with Go Green Racing now, and you got that in the back pocket, you've got the Xfinity Series ahead of you for 2018, and you got to feel really good about that.
Yeah, I do. I'm really excited for the year to start and the full year be all set in stone and a brand new team and a lot of good people. And I can't think Sparks Energy enough for teaming up with us to do this, and it should hopefully be our best year yet, so can't wait for it to start.
Happy 24th birthday, by the way, Joey.
Oh, thank you. It's actually 25.
25, okay.
I feel really old now.
Let's talk about Daytona. You had terrific success there last year, a 7 and a 10. What went into that?
Sorry, what was that? You broke up a little bit.
You had a 7 and a 10 last year at Daytona. What went into that?
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was, a lot of it was just playing the strategy on how the stages worked last year, and it worked to our advantage. It's the same car I used forever with Jimmy Means Racing last year, ever since I started driving for him, and the car they used just forever. And our game plan was, once we made the race, to just basically try to sit in back the whole time. With the stages, you knew a yellow would come out before you would have to pit for fuel. So we played that to our advantage, and we knew if we could just hang on to the draft a little bit at the beginning, and even if we lost it halfway through the stage, we still shouldn't even go a lap down. So that's what we did. And they, a lot of cars were piling up there really the entire race. And then once the second stage was done, we went for it. And we did get in one accident a little bit and got a little damage, but we made it through it. And luckily we were the right place at the right time there at the end. And with one to go, we were fourth. And unfortunately the big guys that were behind me decided to leave me, and we still ended up seventh. But for how small of a team we were, it was pretty unbelievable. And especially last year, the competition level was the highest it's been in a long, long time in the Xfinity Series. So last year, to be honest, we were worried about just making Daytona and getting through the year. And then we got seventh in Daytona, which put us in a really good position for the rest of the year, points-wise and provisional-wise.
Right, and yeah, and you talk about that and stages and whatnot. You got a year under your belt and everybody else's belt as far as stage racing is concerned. And I guess now looking back at it, was it a learning process? What did you learn, and how can you use that to your advantage this year?
It was for sure. Last year, no one really knew what was going to happen for sure. We figured people were going to be aggressive to try to get those bonus points, but we didn't know how aggressive, and we found out in a hurry it was really, really aggressive. This year you would expect the same thing, but you just never know. Sometimes you go to the super speedways and there's not a caution, but you know, at least with the stages there's going to be two of them. So after those first two stages you can reset. We're hoping to qualify a lot better this year with our new team and some of our new resources we have, and so that would change things a little bit. Before we normally qualified on the back end, so we didn't have to fall to the back. We could just kind of hang out. Where this year, if we qualify better, it's going to change things, because if you're starting the top 20 or top 15, you can't really just slam on your brakes and put on your turning signal and fall to the back. It doesn't quite work like that. So that's going to be something we're going to have to look at too.
Joey, how is the driver's mentality different at Daytona than any other racetrack? And, I mean, you're clearly a skillful driver. Do you have to be a bit lucky?
Oh, everything goes into Daytona. You got to have luck. You have to have skill. And patience really is something that I think is one of the biggest things you have to have at the super speedways too. Because, I mean, almost anybody can get up, I mean, at least in the top half the field at some point. Other race, sometimes you're just in the light in the right lane and it goes, but you just got to make sure to make the right moves at the right time and not get impatient and pull out of line, and then you fall to the back or be too aggressive at the beginning and get into wreck. So the biggest thing is just one of the biggest things, at least, is just being patient and learning which lines go where, and making sure people trust you. If someone doesn't trust you, you're never going to go anywhere, especially at the super speedways.
Joey Gase, Cedar Rapids native, driver of the number 35 car on the NASCAR Xfinity Series, joining us here on the Thursday edition of the program. And I know you got to be extremely happy. You're going to be working with Patrick Donahue again coming up for the 2018 season. And I imagine you guys got a pretty good relationship started.
Yeah, we do. I mean, I've only worked with Patrick a few times, but each time I've done it, it was really enjoyable. And since we worked together on the Daytona 500 last year, we stayed in close contact and become good friends. So he's someone that really works his butt off, hardly almost harder than anyone else on the team, if not harder. And he wants everything to be right, and he's just as nervous and wants to do just as good as I do. So it's something that I'm really glad and happy to have him be my crew chief and be on my team, and it should be a lot of fun this year.
You also have a part-time deal on the number 33 Ford on the Monster Energy Cup Series. How many rides do you figure to get, Joey?
That's still up in the air. I think it's going to probably hopefully be a handful of races this year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it depends on sponsorship and then what the car counts are looking like. And one of the things we're kind of looking at, too, is maybe trying to do some of those races when it's an off weekend for Xfinity and when it's Cup is racing, so we can use some of our Xfinity guys on that Cup side, so we don't have to get a whole new group of guys just to do a couple races out of the year.
Right, and maybe also try to get some of the local ones. I know you've done Kansas a few times, and some of the bigger ones, obviously. But to see friends and family come down and watch your race on Sundays is always fun.
Yeah, it is for sure. I mean, when you go race back home in the Midwest and in Indy, where I was able to do Indy last year, and all those races, it's a lot of fun, and just seeing how many of your friends and family show up, and just how far you've come, it's pretty cool, and all the support we've gotten out of the Cedar Rapids area is awesome, and we're actually fortunate enough to have two Cedar Rapids area companies team up with us in Daytona as well. We're going to have Highway Equipment Company and Premier Millwright. So just to prove that all the support we have out of Cedar Rapids area is really, really cool.
Very nice. Joey, we know that your promotion of organ donation has been big in your career, and it continues to be that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're still going to be teaming up with local OPOs and Donate Life across the country. Atlanta, we're actually going to have Donate Life Georgia there, Phoenix, Donate Life Arizona, and when we go to Vegas, we'll have Donate Life Nevada there. So we'll still be teaming up with a lot of the Donate Life organizations as we race around the country. And Sparks Energy is also all for. They have a connection to organ donation as well with one of their loved ones, and they're family owned business, and they put family and people first, and that's something that I think is really cool, and I'm really thankful for.
Yeah, well, you got to have great sponsors to back you as far as whatever racing circuit you're on. And to know you have Sparks Energy and everybody else to come along, that's a big part of it.
Yeah, it is for sure. And like you said, without good sponsors, it's really, really hard or almost impossible anymore to be able to race. And that's something that's important for our fans to know. So when we do have sponsors, we hope they go out there and support them as well.
Right. And I know you were here in Cedar Rapids last year to help out at Hawkeye Downs, kind of coming back to the roots. And I know that's we're hoping to have you back. It sounds like things are going to work out again to make it back at least once this year.
Right. Yeah, I hope so. It may be a little more difficult this year, but we're definitely going to try to, and we always have a lot of fun when we do so. But we won last year, and when that happened, the motor kind of finally gave up on us after 10 years. So we have it out of the car, and we're trying to get it rebuilt and see if we can get that done in time for when we do come back next year. So hopefully that will happen. And like you said, coming back to where it all started is a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, and we look forward to that coming up. And I don't know if you had a chance to talk with them, but I know that a lot of people keep asking about Landon Castle, also from Cedar Rapids. He's still looking to get a ride coming up, I think, for Daytona. And as far as the Monster Energy Cup Series is concerned, he's talked about Xfinity as well, maybe finding a ride there. And it's got to be a nerve-wracking time, I think, for Landon right now.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is the off-season for almost really any driver, unless you're lucky enough to have a deal done before the season ends, is really a horrible time. It's very nerve-wracking, and it's something where you can't always get your mind off of, where if you're in season, you get to go to the racetrack that weekend and get your mind off things. So it's I'm sure it's definitely a hard time for him right now, but hopefully something works out for him.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to seeing the 35 out there at Daytona, and it's going to be a lot warmer and a lot less snowy than it is here in eastern Iowa, so we know that, and we'll look forward to it. But hey, Joey, always appreciate it. Thanks a lot for coming on with us, and have a great 2018. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you so much, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
You bet. Joey Gase joining us here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Snow is starting. And also the 3A and 4A pairings have just been released by the Iowa High School Athletic Association for boys basketball. I've been waiting all day, and of course they do it when we're on the air. So that's pretty much par for the course. But I'll look at those after we get done here.
Sounds good.
I can
just tell you it's possible Joe Wieskamp may come back to the U.S. Cellular Center.
Well, I thought that might be the case.
Yeah.
We'll let everybody take a look at that. We need to talk about bowling last night because we are obligated to do so. And our Bowling Night in America wrap-up is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Thanks to everybody out there, the pro shop, all the management. We do appreciate it. We always have fun on Wednesdays, even when we're bowling horribly.
You ever been part of a team or followed a team that has propensity to play close games and often lose them?
Yes, I know what you talk about.
It would be the Rusty Nails. Losing 2 out of 3 games. We did manage to win the last one. 3 close games. Lost by 4, lost by 14, won by 15, lost the series by 3. And I have to tell you, I was in a position to give us a win the first game. I had a simple 4-pin. It's like a 2-foot putt, 18-incher. A layup to win the game, uncontested, and I whiffed.
Yeah.
I whiffed.
We all had bad spots,
but that was inexcusable. I needed that in a good count, and I'll do it 99% of the time, but not last night, and consequently, I'm not giving much credit to our opponents. But 3 close games, didn't go our way. You'll have that. Rusty Nails slipping further down the standings. 43 and 45, 10th place. It is bunched
in the middle.
But frustrating night. But not for Brian Heefner. He had high game and high series. 258, 696. Vic Keys right behind him in high game. 257. Nathan Walt, a 690. No 700s last night.
Brian was close, so I talked with him afterwards, and he was awful happy about the way he bowled last night.
Well, he's left-handed. He should have that advantage.
Bah.
I'd tell him that to his face, and we would both laugh about it, okay?
Yeah, you would.
On another night.
Where we hit the pocket about 9 out of 10 and didn't get
lead the
strikes.
League in single pins and pocket splits.
Oh, brother.
But no offense to May City Bowl. That's just the way it goes. And we'll be at it again next week. In the meantime, if you have equipment needs, want to inquire about open bowling, perhaps a party, give May City a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com. You're still scratching your head, Scott.
We are having one of those years. That's all it is. We are having one of those years. Your phone is doing something, Mari. We're having one of those years where that's what happens. You have one of those years every once in a while where things just don't go your way. And that's kind of what it's going like this year.
I didn't lose any sleep over it.
I didn't either, but it's frustrating. We're frustrated. We're to the point where we're trying to seek help from Rusty. Long distance.
He could care less down in Florida.
No, he gave us one piece of advice.
We're
going to keep it amongst ourselves, amongst the team. So,
poll question at KGYMRadio.com. We ask you about the Winter Olympics. What's your favorite sport? Curling, figure skating, ice hockey, bobsled / luge.
Luge.
Skiing, speed skating, or snowboarding. Right now, half of you are on the curling bandwagon, 25% skiing, 25% speed skating. Go ahead and vote, KGYMRadio.com.
All right. Stay tuned. The Todd Bramble Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with Alex and Kyle today coming up next. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league,
but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers